Amen. Yes, it does. Amen, amen, amen. All right, all right. That's enough. All right, you guys can stand up, right? That's what everybody's standing up. We're going to read the Bible. Stand up. That's what you guys get. All right. We're going to stay like that the whole service, all right? So just, all right, if I get to stand up, you guys can stand up too. Amen. Go to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, just something that God put in my heart, and hopefully it's a blessing to you guys. Thank you, Pastor Wilkerson, for the opportunity that, you know, you give us, and it's always a blessing to come here and being able to preach the Word of God. The Bible says right there in chapter 9, verse 24, the Bible says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery and temperate in all things, they that do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that be any means with I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." You know, I don't think nobody ever wants to be a castaway. I don't think nobody ever wants to be, you know, put out there and God to use you and then for you to disqualify yourself from ministry or for just serving God. And, you know, my heart today is just to remind you, you know, we're running a race and we're running with a purpose. And for you to run your race and understand, you know, everybody has a purpose. We're here. You guys are here. And House Anderson, you guys are paying the price. Some of you guys, man, are struggling to pay that price. But it's a price that later in the years, you're going to be so thankful you paid it. You know, Pastor Wilkerson was saying a little bit of my testimony, and I'm just so thankful that God is my God, that Christ is my God. Amen. You know, I'm so thankful that I went to First Baptist in Long Beach. I'm so thankful that the pastors that I had in my life, I'm thankful for Pastor Wilkerson, his family, and other pastors that have influenced my life. You know, and I'm thankful to have the Word of God. Now, Paul here, he's writing to the Corinthians, and in this chapter, I'm explaining right now. But I just want you to open your heart. We're going to pray, and then you guys can sit down. I was just messing around. You're not going to be standing up. But I want you to ask God to help you. I don't know your struggles. I don't know what you had to do to be here today. Yeah, but I do know that it is a struggle because I also went to school, and I know the struggles that happened. You know, sometimes, man, we don't need all day to do what we have to do. I understand that. But I want you to open up your heart, and I want you to ask God, please speak to my heart and help me get out of this chapel today being helped. And I just, my heart is for you to continue your race, and you're not done yet. You got a long way to go, and I'm not done yet. Pastor Wilkerson's not done yet. We're still striving. We're still fighting. We're still on the race, and one day we're going to get to heaven, and we're going to reap those crowns that God is going to have for us, and that's our goal. You know, let's pray and let's ask God to help us today. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity, God, that you've given me, Lord, to preach your word. I don't take it lightly, Father. I understand. I know who I am. I know my capabilities, Lord. I know my flaws, Lord, and my struggles, Lord. And sometimes, Paul, Lord, I feel like Paul. Lord, but I know that you have a purpose, Father. And if there's anything, if there's a point that might help a young man, a young lady today, to continue fighting, to continue, keep on going. Lord, then your purpose was fulfilled. And that's my goal today, Lord. Please help us, Lord. Help the message and just help us as we go on today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys may be seated. You know, the Bible here is Paul talking to the Corinthians. And you know, I was actually, this is, I got a few messages out of this Bible reading that I was doing. This is one of them. You know, and here Paul is trying to deal with a lot of sin in the church. And he's trying to, you know, they were Christians, they were children of God, but they were doing things the wrong way. They were doing things that didn't honor God. So many times that we find ourselves, you know, we're not perfect. And when we find ourselves going to the Word of God or going to a preaching that touches our heart, be like, man, I got to fix this in my life. You know, this is not so a fixing matter or this message. This is more of an encouragement to you to keep on going. Here the Bible Paul is comparing the Christian life as a challenge. And we know that the Christian life is always full of challenges. It's always full of distractions. It's always full of things that are going to try to hinder us to fulfill or to finish our race. We see here Paul using the metaphor as an athlete, and we see this in many of his letters, and you know, comparing himself or not only this, but as a soldier, and so many times he's comparing the Christian life. You know, we got a race, and we got to finish that race. And here, that's what he's doing. You know, the passage, it challenges us to run our spiritual race with a purpose. You know, I just want to remind you today that your life, you know, you have to understand, if you want to finish your race, if you want to get to where God wants you to get, you have to have a purpose. You know, last in the servants' conference, Pastor, I had somebody in my office. He was a pastor. He was younger than I am. I feel old now, right? But he was a younger pastor, and he told me, you know, Brother Perez, what drives you? You know, what gets you going? You know, and there's a lot of things that get me going. You know, at the moment, I was, you know, it was something that, you know, I don't react. I don't know what to answer when somebody just bluntly tells me or asks me a question. I have to think about it. You know, there I was like, man, what gets me going, you know, is the ministry, my family. You know, but then I was reading the Bible, and I was reading a passage where, you know, Christ is our rock. I was like, man, you know, God keeps me going. You know, Christ keeps me going. You know that testimony, and I was almost tearing up when he was saying that when I got saved, keeps me going. And I remember I was a struggling young man. I honestly did not want to be in a church. You probably heard this testimony long and a lot of times, but I did not want to be there. I wanted to be out. I was thinking already, you know, when I graduate, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. In my mind was never to be in the church. I give God thanks for that youth pastor in my life. You know, I preach a message a Saturday night, and then I was like, you know what, God? I'm sorry. You know, I got on my knees, and I asked God to come to my heart, and my life changed. Now, it wasn't, my life has struggles, just like many of you guys have. You know, I remember going to Bible college and the Bible Institute there at our church. And as I was going, you know, I'm not saying you do it, but I remember me. I was so into God. I was so reading my Bible. And I was like, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. If you want me to be a janitor, if you want me to be whatever you want, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. And I know some of you guys have that fire and that spirit. Be like, man, God, whatever you want. You know, I took promises to God and I started making promises. God, if you one day, if you ever can use me, and I don't know if you can use me, but whatever you can do, you know, I promise this and I promise that. You know, one of the promises I did, and I'm not telling you to do it, but I did it to God. I was so on fire to God, and I know there was going to come distractions. So one of the promises I did in Bible college, I said, God, if you help me out to finish this race, this 4 years that I'm going to be here, you know, God, I'm going to promise you that I'm not going to date any girl for 4 years. That was hard. Some of you guys heard that, man, what? You'll never do that. I was a little crazy, you know. But, you know, and I asked God, and I'm going to start praying. I started praying for my wife, and I'm going off the script right now. Just, I don't know why, but I'm doing it. You know, I started praying for my wife. I'm like, God, when I finish, I know you're going to give me a wife. When I finish my studies, I know that my wife's going to be there. I don't see her now. I don't know. People used to try to be like, hey, date this girl and date this girl. I'm like, oh, no, not yet, not yet. I'm like, man, you're okay. What's wrong with you? I'm like, no, I'm okay. Trust me. I'm okay, but not yet, because I made a promise to God. You know, and my purpose as I started my race, it was just simple as to please God. It was just simple as to, you know, to run my race, to do what it takes. I remember joining the bus route. I remember joining choir, and I didn't want to join choir. And Pastor Parada came to me, and if you know who Pastor Parada, man, he's shorter than I am. He's a short man. He came to me like, hey, when are you going to join choir? Like, Pastor, I don't got a suit. I remember him taking his suit off. He's like, wear this one. And then I put it on. It was like this. I was like, oh, my goodness. No, Pastor. No, thank you. I went to the thrift store. I bought me a suit. And the next week, I was in choir. You know, that's how my ministry started. And I remember praying for my wife. I'm like, God, I want my wife to be faithful. I want my wife to love you, God. Because you know what? I listened to a preacher, Joaquin Hurtado. He was about 70-something when he was there teaching us in the Bible college. He was like, if you only put God first in your life, you know, God has to be first in your life. And then everything else is just going to fall in place. And I believed him. And I still believe him. You know, and I was like, God, I'm going to put you first no matter what. And I started praying, God, please, I want my wife to love you, to serve you the same way I serve you, the same fire I serve you. I don't care what her past is. You know, it doesn't matter. I just want, and I want her to be beautiful, and I want her, and I want to be attracted to God. Lord, I was just praying to God, all these things. You know, I finished college, a Bible college, and I remember that summer, Pastor Wilkerson back at home, we used to have a victory club. And it was the English department and the Spanish department. We used to sing and sing and sing. And then we used to go and we used to get a challenge from Pastor. And we used to go out soul winning. And we went and conquered the whole world every Saturday. You know, with one Saturday in particular, I saw a young lady walking down. And I'm like, I don't know her. And I told my friend Christian Trujillo, I'm like, hey, Christian, you know what? That's a pretty girl over there. What do you think? He's like, oh, no, I saw her first. That's what he told me. I'm like, what in the world? I'm like, oh, no, bro, come on, man. It doesn't work like that. And this guy went on, and because I was a shy person, he went on and went to say hi to her. And I was like, I was mad at my friend. I was like, man, what are you doing? But then I was like, you know what, God, if it's your will, it's your will. But I'm going to marry that girl. And you know what? I saw her, and I thought she was Filipino. She was with a Cambodian lady. I don't know. I forget her name, but you probably remember, Pastor. And she was always with her and Rose and this other missionary that's now a missionary. And I'm like, and I asked my sister, I'm like, hey, what do you think? She's like, man, she seems like a good girl. I'm like, okay. So I got my sister's approval. And I'm like, all right, we're going good, you know. But you know, to say the story short, I married that girl. You know, and amen, right? And, you know, what I'm trying to say is, again, it was just the beginning of my race. It was just the beginning. Now I'm married. Now God gives us a child. Praying to God, God, if you're going to use us, I want to be somewhere. You know, I was just a bus captain. I was just doing what an ordinary person in church does, doing what I'm supposed to do. Had a job. You know, and I was just asking God, and I remember getting on my knees with my wife praying, God, if you're going to use us, we need to be, we can't just be sitting here in church. God, I know you have a purpose in our lives. You know, that same, about weeks later, Pastor Gomez called us and said, hey, man, I'm looking for a youth pastor. What do you think? I was like, what in the world? I never called him. He came over here and I said, man, God bless you. Amen. I'm going to stay over here in California. I used to text him here and then, preacher, I'm praying for you. But that was it. Never in my mind that I ever thought I was going to come here. You know, I'm here now, and I get the privilege of working with young people. But my race is not over. You know, I have a purpose, and my purpose is to please the Father, God. Yeah. And I get up in the morning, and I think, God, I need to get a hold of you. You know, Paul is saying the same thing here in the Bible. It's telling us, and it's giving us a purpose. You know, first it's saying right here in verse 24, if you guys can go, and it's a simple message. The Bible says right there in 24, know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that we may what? Obtain. You know, Paul's saying run with a clear goal. Put a goal. You know, you guys have a purpose, and that's the reason why you're here, but some people run without a goal. You know, some people are just here because you're just here. You're here because maybe your parents force you to be here. I don't know. You know, the apostle's reminding us, you know what? You have to run and run with a goal in your mind. In a race, every runner competes, but only one gets the prize. You know, it's the same thing as Christians. You know, I don't know if you ever raced in your life. I used to love running. And I raced. I had a few races in my life. You know, every time you race, you want to win. Every time I boxed too, and every time I was fighting or whatever, I want to win. You know, but it's so sadly, Pastor Workers, that some Christians, they're Christians, but they don't have a goal. You know, they don't have a end. They never say, man, God, I want you to use me. God, I want you to use my life, use my family. Never. Some Christians nowadays, they're just running their race just to run. But it was in Paul. Paul's reminding us here. It says, you know what? You're going to run a race. Get a clear goal in your life. You know, the price for the way we're running are eternal rewards. You know, I sometimes we get rewards here at earth. But you know what? The greatest prizes, the greatest awards we're going to get is when we get to heaven. I mean, just imagine you going to God and God giving you, or you being able to give those crowns to God and be like, God, look, I got this for you. Look, I was soul winning and so many people got saved, and this is for you, Lord. And I'm just thankful, God, that I'm here in heaven, that I don't get to pay the price that sinners get to pay. You know, you ought to run your life with a goal. What's your goal? What is your goal? You know, what is the reason you came here? Some of you guys have forgotten that goal. You know, again, I don't know your life, but I've been there where you've been. And some of the times when I was struggling because I'm a human being, I was like, man, this is too hard. This is too expensive. It's just the pressure. I got to do this and that. But the Bible says, you know, it's telling us, hey, run. You know, a runner never quits. Number two, the Bible says there in chapter 25. It says, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. You know, the Bible is saying here, we have to exercise discipline in all things. You have to be disciplined in your walk with God. You have to be disciplined in the things that you do. And you know what? Again, every athlete, when they go in and they fight, or they go and they run, or they go and they play, all of them, the same story. You know, the greater they get, you're going to see the discipline they have to do what they do. You know, I grew up in California, so one of my heroes and growing up in basketball is Kobe Bryant. Some of you guys are going to be like, but you know what? That's what I grew up with. You know, I started liking basketball, watching him play. I'm like, man, this guy's good. Another one, when I used to watch soccer, I used to see other players. I mean, this guy, and the same thing they all have is the discipline they have when they practice. You know, some of them get up in the morning at 3, 4 in the morning to do what they have to do. Why? Because they have a goal. You know, as a Christian, again, what is your goal? What discipline do you put yourself understanding? Look, I need to discipline in all aspects of my area. My Bible reading, my walking with God, the way I talk, the way I dress, the ladies, so many things that as Christians, we have to live a life of discipline. You know, many people don't talk about this anymore, but you know what? You want God to use you. You want God to get to the end and be able to finish your race. You need to exercise discipline in your life. We see that in athletes, and that's what Paul's telling us. He's saying, look at an athlete. Look how they run. Look how they put their bodies into discipline. You know, verse 26 keeps on saying, the Bible says right there, it says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so I fight, not as one that beateth the what? The air. You know, number one, we see that we have to have a clear goal. Number two, we have to exercise discipline in all things. Number three, the Bible is telling us here that we have to fight with the purpose and precision. You know, the Bible says here, I fight, but I don't fight like just hitting the air. Who has ever boxed here in their lives? Raise your hand if you ever boxed. Few of you guys, man, you guys are missing out. You know, it's not easy to box. You know, I was going to Brother Moffitt's early in the morning, about 6 in the morning. I started going and training with him. I don't do it anymore, but I was doing the first day that I got there. I don't know how old Brother Moffitt is. How old is he, Pastor, you know? 78. It was probably 70, I don't know. It was a few years back. You know, the first day I got there, man, he let me have it, a 70-year-old. And the reason why was I was out of shape. You know, I couldn't last 2 rounds with him. I was like, man, this guy, he's strong. And maybe I am stronger, but I started boxing. I started doing the things that I was supposed to do, and my hands started getting tired. And then every hit that he was giving me, it hurt so much. I was like, man, why? Because I wasn't ready. I wasn't prepared. You know, it's the same thing Paul's saying. Look, if I'm going to go out there and I'm going to box, I'm going to go with a purpose. I'm going to train myself to be a champion. And some of us, again, we're living Christian life and we're going and not thinking ever that one day you're going to be in ministry. You know, you think and you say, no, I'm going to do that when I get to ministry. We hear that so much. You know, I challenge teenagers, man, read your Bible, walk with God. It's like, oh, no, I'm going to read my Bible when I become a pastor. You're not going to do it. If you don't do it now, you're not going to do it later. You know, Paul's saying you need to do this. Why? Because one day you're going to be in a battle. And if you're not prepared, you know, the devil is going to, man, he's going to beat you up. And that's why so many Christians are not finishing the race. So many Christians are not getting there where God wants them to be. Why? Because they're not prepared. when they were your age and when they had the possibilities, you know, when the challenges and I mean the teachings and everything that House Anderson's giving you, you guys didn't take that. Some of them were just playing around. And Paul here is reminding us, look, if you're going to go out there and fight, don't fight like you're just hitting the air. What happens when a boxer just hits the air? You know, he can get hurt. You know, a boxer, every time he boxes, he's making sure he hits that. He ducks, but he's always thinking, I'm going to hit that. I'm going to punch him. And then I'm going to get him with my strong hand or whatever. But you know, every movement, every throw that he is precise. And if the boxer ever goes and hits the air, he can get hurt. It hurts. You know, that's what Paul's saying. Look, I'm not here fighting just to fight. And let me remind you again in this race that we're running. Are you prepared? Are you fighting? And you're having a goal in your life. God, I want you to use me one day. God, I want you to make me the greatest teacher ever. I don't know. That those are goals. You know, God wants to do it. But he's not going to do it if you disqualify yourself from the race. And the Bible says here again, number one, he's telling us, run with a clear goal. Number two, he says, he's asking us to exercise discipline in all things in verse 25. Verse 26 is saying, you know what? You had to fight with a purpose. Number seven, and the last one I have here, Bible says right there in verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be what? Cast away. You know, the Bible is saying you have to understand that our biggest enemies are the three. And you probably heard them again and again and again. You know, right here it's talking about the body. It's saying, look, I'm going to put my body under submission. So one day I won't be cast away. I'm going to put my fleshly desires, I'm going to put whatever I want to do, so one day God can use my life. And the Bible is saying right here, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. You know, again, Paul here is talking about a discipline, how he disciplines his body to ensure he remains faithful to God, to avoid from getting disqualified. You know, there's so many people out there in sports. Man, they get paid a lot. You know, if you like baseball, man, these guys are getting paid $700 million. I mean, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money just to throw it away. You know, I like the Dodgers, and one of those Dodger players, they're getting paid $600 and something million. I mean, I just, you know, it reminds me back in 2000, you know, the Dodgers won the World Series, and this pitcher, he was a closer for the last game in the World Series. And he pitches last pitch, getting paid over $200 million. Contracts, I mean, they're so above them. You know, he went to a game. He was in off-season. He went to a game. And this pitcher, and they have it in video, was going down the road, and then they were going off. He was arguing with his wife. And out of anger, he just hit her in the face. And everything's there. You know what the MLB did? They disqualified him. The Dodgers took him out. They were investigating. And then they gave him this literally disqualified him. He will never pitch again because of a mistake. You know, we have so much to lose. You know, you think right now, man, I'm not getting those 200 and something million. You know what? You're getting something better than that. You get to go to heaven. You get to go to heaven and see those people that you love. You get to go to heaven and take people that you're going to be the main influence for them to go to heaven. You know, we get to go to heaven and get this crowns with gold and take it to our Father. I mean, we have so much more to lose. But you know what? We don't see it like that. And the Bible here is saying, look, I'm doing this. And Paul's saying, I have preached to others. I myself should be a castaway. You know, this is not just for you guys. It's for everybody that's running the race. You know, I don't want you to get disqualified. I want you to finish your race. My heart today is to let you know, man, Pastor Wilkerson, the staff here at House Anderson, your pastors, they want you to finish your race. We want you to be the next Jack House. I mean, we want you to be the next whoever you want to put there. We want God to use you. And He will. If only you understand, look, there's going to be obstacles in the race. There are going to be things that are going to hinder you to finishing that race. And I'm just telling you, please don't get disqualified. You know, sin disqualifies Christians. They will never, ever, they would never, ever get to be what God wants them to be. Yeah, God might be able to use them in some way in their church and some way in the ministry. But you know what? It's never going to be that potential that God wanted for them. Man, I want to get to that potential. And that's what the Word of God is telling us here. Again, it's reminding us, first of all, it's reminding us, look, if you're going to have a purpose in the Christian life, understand that there should be a goal in your life. There should be discipline in all things. And again, your purpose, you need to fight with the purpose and precision of doing what God wants you to do. And understand, look, if you don't take care of yourself, you might get disqualified. Who here wants to get disqualified? I don't think anybody. Nobody here wants to get disqualified. Nobody here wants to get sent home. Nobody here wants to be ashamed and going back home and saying, I'm sorry, look, I messed up, I did this or that. Nobody here wants that. But if you continue on your fleshly desires, that's what you're going to get. Now, I'm not preaching this because I'm preaching this because I want you to understand, look, there's a race to run. And I don't know if somebody here is discouraged today saying, Brother Hubal, man, I'm about to just throw the towel. Another boxing term. I'm about to just give up. Don't give up. Finish your race. Finish good. Finish strong. I mean, just understand that that's what God wants you to do. And again, God is so faithful to us. He wants you to understand that. The Christian life, again, is a race that requires a purpose, a discipline, and a focus. And Paul, again, is asking us to run to obtain the incorruptible crown by living God's glory. You know, we're going to get that incorruptible crown. One day, we're going to get to heaven. Man, I can't wait. I'm going to live in a mansion. Man, I used to live in a one-bedroom apartment. Pastor Wilkerson. It was 10 of us. And the glory of God, one day, man, I'm going to have my own mansion. And that's through Christ. Close your eyes and bow your head. We're going to pray. And before we pray, I just want you to ask yourself, what type of race are you running? What type of race are you running, young lady, young man? What are you running? Do you have a purpose in your life? Do you have a goal? They're saying, God, I just want to finish my race. God, I just want you to use me.